I don't see why we should wait at all. Arnold started to say, but I... Let's vote, said another board member. Call for the vote, said still another. Visibly defeated, Arnold said, very well, if that is the sense of the board. Shall we use the secret ballot? I'm willing to let everyone see my hand raised, the controller said. Then let us take a 15-minute recess before we vote, said Arnold. I want to make sure that Greg is with us when hands are raised. The tension eased a little as everyone got to their feet. The controller patted Paul's shoulder and said loudly enough for all to hear, I'm sure you're going to make a grand CEO, my boy. Paul mumbled his thanks and made his way around the table toward Joanna. He passed Melissa, who kept her face frozen. Joanna was walking slowly toward the big windows at the front of the meeting room. As if by instinct, the other board members drifted away from her, allowing Paul to be alone with her. You didn't tell Greg first, he whispered urgently to her. She looked up at him, her eyes tired, almost tearful. I tried to, she said. He didn't show up until just a few moments before the meeting began. But before the meeting? Christ, you two live in the same house. Not anymore. Greg took an apartment here in New York, just after his father's death, didn't you know? Paul shook his head. Still, breaking it to him like that in front of the rest of the board. Joanna turned to the windows. The clipper ship from Hong Kong should be arriving in a few moments. Never mind that. You should have told him, warned him at least. I couldn't, she said, still staring out beyond the towers of Lower Manhattan, the harbor, the gray expanse of Brooklyn and Queens. He hasn't spoken to me in more than a month, not since he found out about us. He knows? Joanna breathed out a shuddering sigh. He knows. Then his father must have known. Paul was jolted by the thought. He probably did. God Almighty. Joanna said nothing. Do you think that's why he killed himself? Paul asked her. Joanna did not answer for a long moment. Then, I can't picture Gregory blowing his brains out over his wife's infidelity. Not when he'd already turned infidelity into a lifetime career. She sounded bitter, but Paul knew that a man like Gregory had a totally different set of values when it came to his wife's faithfulness. Still, he never would have thought that Gregory would kill himself for any reason. Look, Joanna pointed. There it is. A pinpoint high in the sky. A flare of rocket flame against the gray-blue background. Paul watched the tiny dot grow into a discernible shape as the clipper ship seemed to halt in midair, slide sideways slightly, then slowly descend on a pillar of flaming rocket exhaust until it was lost to their view. I still get a thrill every time I see it, Joanna said. And Paul thought that maybe he did love her after all. Please be seated, Arnold called from the head of the table. Looking around, Paul saw that Greg was still gone. Unable to face the music, Paul wondered, or too torn up by his mother's betrayal. He knew about us, Paul told himself as he went back to his chair. He knew that I was fucking his mother. And if he knew, his father did too. 18 board members took their places around the long table. Arnold called for discussion of the nominations. The board members shifted uneasily in their chairs, looked at one another. No one wanted to be first. I presume, Arnold said, seizing the initiative, that you are still in favor of keeping Moonbase going, Paul. Nodding solemnly, Paul replied, The future of this corporation is in space, and Moonbase holds the key to profitable space commerce. But the government's backed away from it, Arnold pointed out. If they won't do it, why should we? After all, they can print money. We have to earn it. He made a rictus of a smile to indicate humor. Paul hesitated, as if carefully considering his answer, even though he knew exactly what he wanted to say. After a couple of heartbeats, he began. Washington is giving us an opportunity to develop this new frontier without a lot of government red tape tying our hands. The politicians have finally realized that they can't run anything at a profit, but we can, and we will eventually. How long is eventually? One of the older board members asked. I don't have all that much time to wait. Paul smiled patiently. Several years at least. We're talking about developing a new frontier here. How long did it take Pittsburgh to become the steel center of the world? How long did it take to make air travel profitable? It's still not profitable. The Clipper ships are profitable, Paul pointed out. No one contradicted him. I know it's asking a lot to back Moonbase on our own. But believe me, this is the key to our future. I believe that as firmly as I believed that the Clipper ships would make money for us. Joanna asked, Isn't the government willing to pay whoever operates Moonbase to keep the scientific work going? Nodding, Paul replied, That's right. Washington's willing to support 6 scientists at Moonbase. It's not very much money, but it's a baseline commitment. And if we decide not to continue with Moonbase, one of the other directors asked, What happens to those scientists? Moonbase operations will be offered to any other corporation that wants to bid on the base. If nobody bids, the base is shut down and all work on the moon comes to an end.
You're fully committed to keeping Moonbase open? Joanna asked him.
Totally, said Paul. Take me, take Moonbase with me. One and inseparable. Now and forever, muttered a voice further down the table. The vote was an anticlimax. Arnold claimed that he had Greg's proxy. The only other vote for Greg came from Melissa Hart. Paul Stavanger was elected president and chief executive officer of Masterson Aerospace Corporation by a vote of 16-3.
Congratulations.
The comptroller smiled. Now, when is the wedding going to take place? Mare Nubium. Some wedding, Paul said to himself as he sweated across the lunar regolith. Like another pissing board meeting, only bigger. The biggest society bash in Savannah. They all came out of curiosity. Too soon after Gregory's death, they all whispered, bad taste. But they all came and sipped the champagne and ogled at the daughter of one of the oldest families in Georgia actually marrying a black man. Lordy, lordy, what would Miss Scarlet say? The whole board of directors showed up for the wedding, all except Greg and Melissa. Joanna planned every detail, even picked the comptroller to be my best man. So what? I had enough on my dish. Pissing company was in even worse shape than I'd thought. I could see right at the outset that saving Moonbase was going to be a bitch and a half. It was always there, the race thing. Even at MIT, the blacks had their own clubs and cliques, had to. Nobody hung whites-only signs in the halls, but everybody knew who was who and what was what. The classes and labs were one thing. Performance counted there. It was the social life where they cut you. And Paul got cut both ways. He wasn't black enough to suit the militants. He was too black to please most of the whites, especially when he dated white women. Learning to fly was something else, though. Alone in a plane, Paul could get away from everything and everyone, at least for a couple of hours. More than once, he would squint up at the blue sky and see the pale ghost of the moon riding out beyond his wingtip. I'm on my way, he would say to the distant moon. I'll be with you in a few years. Something was wrong with his left boot. It was rubbing his heel raw. A pang of fear burned through his gut. He saw Wojo again, screaming as the nanobugs ate his suit and his flesh, and Tink screeching like a terrified monkey in a leopard's jaws. Forget about the pissin' nanobugs, Paul raged silently. It's nothing but a lousy fitting boot, he insisted to himself. He was trying not to limp, despite the pain in his left heel every time he set his foot down. It felt awkward walking that way. And then his boot slipped. If he had fallen forward, just tripped and gone down face first, he would have had plenty of time to put out his hands, stop the fall, and push himself up to his feet again. Even in the cumbersome surface suit, the moon's gravity was so slight that he could have done that. It was an old trick among the lunatics done to impress newcomers. Pretend you're going to go splat on your face, then push yourself up to a standing position before the tenderfoot can holler, look out. But Paul's foot skidded out from under him on a suddenly slick piece of exposed rock, and he fell over backward, onto his life support backpack and oxygen tank, banged